welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
We're going to go ahead and get started here in, we're going to start in Galatians. This is a passage that we looked at a couple weeks ago, and we're just kind of going to continue on this message a little bit. The Apostle Paul is saying, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's quite a promise. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And so we looked at a few weeks ago just the idea, the concept of walking in the Spirit. That can sometimes be a little intimidating. What is walking in the Spirit? What's, you know, is it having your devotion time? Is it, you know, a certain place of the Spirit you're just living in? And it can be a little hard to identify. So we kind of broke it down a few weeks ago, and we said, a walk in the Spirit is like any other walk. What is a walk? A walk is a series of steps, all right? And so when you take a step, when you're walking in the Spirit, you're simply taking a step in the Spirit. And there's a lot of different kind of steps that you can take. But how walking in the Spirit isn't just like your devotion time. Your devotion time is a step in the Spirit, but walking in the Spirit is something that you do throughout your whole day. It's an awareness of the Spirit and the things of the Spirit and whatnot. And so we kind of looked at that in terms of walking in the Spirit and how it is simple. A step in the Spirit is very much like a step in the flesh. It's the one thing the Spirit and the flesh actually have in common is the way you take a step. The Scripture said, if you're going to take a step in the Spirit, you're going to set your mind on the things of the Spirit. If you take a step in the flesh, you're going to set your mind on the things of the flesh. So they function the same way. What you're thinking about are very different, but the act of setting your mind is the same. That's the choice that you have. And so we looked at that idea of taking a step. And then we kind of looked also at just the variety of steps, different ways that you can take that step, and then the value also of the steps in the Spirit. We went on to, it goes on to say, not only will you walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh, but as you're taking those steps in the Spirit, you begin to bear the fruit of the Spirit. You know, very much like a natural walk, when you begin to walk in the natural, there's a fruit of maybe improved cardiovascular or metabolism or clarity of thought or better sleep, you know, those natural things that just happen. You're not trying to make them happen. All you're doing is taking those steps. And that stuff's just going on automatically on the inside of you. You just know that it's working. Same way when you begin to walk in the Spirit and just begin to take those spiritual steps, you begin to bear the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the goodness, you know, patience, long-suffering, self-control, all that stuff. It's kind of like the metabolism and the cardiovascular. It's happening in you while you're just taking those steps in the Spirit. I'm not making that happen per se. I'm doing what it takes to make it happen in the sense that I'm taking those steps in the Spirit, but ultimately God's doing that work in me by His Spirit. So trying to demystify a little bit what it means to walk in the Spirit. So if you want to, that message was a couple weeks ago. If you want some more context for this message, you're welcome to listen to that. All our stuff is online too, just so you know. But this morning I'm wanting to go forward a little bit in this idea of walking in the Spirit, because it goes on to say that in, you know, that last verse, but if you are led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. And so you can see he's kind of rephrasing the same thing. If you walk in the Spirit, you're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. So if you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Why? You don't need the law. If you're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh, the law is irrelevant. You understand? So that's the powerful thing. You walk, you're led by the Spirit. You're not under the law. We know we're under grace, but as you're led of the Spirit, you're also, you're not under that legalistic rule. You are not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. You're not violating the law. So here's another scripture I just want to say in connection with this. He says, when we were controlled by our old nature, sinful desires were at work within us. The law aroused these evil desires that produced a harvest of sinful deeds, resulting in death. But now we've been released from the law, for we died to it and are no longer captive to its power. Now we can serve God, not in the old way of obeying the letter of the law, but in the new way of living in the Spirit. And he kind of goes on to anticipate some objections to what he just got done saying. Well then, am I suggesting that the law is sinful? Of course not. In fact, it was the law that showed me my sin. I would have never known that coveting is wrong if the law had said, "Thou, you must not covet." But sin used this command to arouse all kinds of covetous desires within me. If there was no law, sin would not have that power. This is really an interesting concept. I mean, natural man would have never come up with this in a million years. This is the Spirit of God showing us the relevance of Jesus and how we live out this new life. In other words, what he's saying here is he's saying we had a sinful condition and the law was there to point it out. If I kind of think of this side of the cross as the law side of the cross before I come to Jesus, the law is here to point out the fact that I'm a sinner. It points out sin in my life. It shows me my need for a Savior, right? If I don't have that, if I don't have some kind of a baseline, I can just stay here and self-justify, and I don't even need a Savior. You know, I'm just either misunderstood or you don't get it or whatever. The law says, no, there is right and there is wrong. It points it out, and in a way that's good because it shows me that sinful condition. It shows me my need for Jesus. It shows me that I need a Savior, somebody to die for that sin, and then I could become a child of God, a brand new person. But what he was saying, Paul is saying here, is he was saying that the sin nature that we were born into would take that law and would begin to arouse those passions and those desires. It would play on the law in a way that's saying, oh, you're not doing this, you're not doing that, or give you imaginations or thoughts. That's one of the things that the sinful nature in us would do. It would use the law against us to shame us and condemn us and beat us up. So you're on this side of the cross and you're just trying to keep the law. That's what you're doing. You're trying to dot the I's, cross the T's, keep all the alligator heads down, whatever, however you want to put it. That's what you're doing. You're trying to live for God from the outside, from a performance-based. Okay? God changes that all around in the new covenant. When you become a child of God and now you're in the new covenant, things change over here. Over here, all you had to live for God was good intentions and willpower. That's what you had. On this side of the cross, you have more than good intentions and willpower. You have the Spirit of God. You have what the Scripture calls the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. You have a spiritual strength as a child of God to be able to live for God that you can never do when you're just trying to live by the law. But it's important to understand, because even as we begin to talk about walking in the Spirit and what it means to walk in the Spirit, and we can look at steps of the Spirit as it relates to reading your Bible and the power of the Word of God and the power of prayer and fellowship and worship and all these powerful spiritual steps, if we're not careful, we can come over here as children of God and all of a sudden make a law out of the steps of the Spirit. Thou shalt read thy Bible, thine Bible. Thou shalt pray. Thou shalt go to church. Thou shalt. And all of a sudden, you're trying to keep track of the steps of the Spirit in a thou shalt context. We were not meant to live this new life that way. And it feels like I'm back under good intentions and willpower again, trying to take those steps. This is different. This is not like just another set of 10 steps of the Spirit that replace the 10 commandments, you know. This, it's very different over here. And my heart this morning, and you know, we're just going to share for a little bit this morning. We might continue this on next week too. But my heart for you to get this morning is just the Spirit in which we walk this walk and we live this life. We're not doing it from an oldness of the letter. You know, what does he say? But now you've been released from the law, for we have died to it and are no longer captive to its power, that power to shame and condemn. Now we can serve God not in the old way of obeying the letter of the law, but in a new way of living in the Spirit, or what the New King James calls the newness of the Spirit. I want to try to capture that a little bit this morning. And what we're going to simply be ministering along the lines is Spirit-led steps. So am I walking in the Spirit? Yes. Am I taking spiritual steps? Absolutely. But also within that thought of walking in the Spirit, I'm just going to go back there real quick. We see the idea of, but if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. So within the idea of taking those spiritual steps, there's also a sense of, I'm being led by the Spirit. Over here, I'm not being led by anything but a guilty conscience. Oh, I got to do that, I got to do that, I got to do that, I got to do that. Again, we don't play that game over here. I got to do this. There's a pause. There's a listening. There's a being led. I can know the power of the Word of God in my life to do things. I can know the power of worship. I can know those things, but I'm doing it from a different place. I'm not doing it, again, from a performance. I'm doing it from a walk. I'm doing it from a walk with the Spirit. You know how we talked about last week, walking in the Spirit is just like taking a natural walk. All you're doing is taking steps. And at the end of your walk, you come back and you say, I had a walk. Well, what did you do? You took so much. If you have a Fitbit, you'll know exactly how many steps you took on that walk. What is walking in the Spirit? They're just spiritual steps and things that you're doing. But what's so beautiful about this is on this side of the cross, when you're walking in the Spirit, it's like you're not walking alone. Over here, it can be very lonely, trying to live for God. Here, you're not just walking in the Spirit, taking spiritual steps. You're walking with someone. You're walking with the Spirit. You're walking with the person of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, can lead you in those Spirit steps. This is one of the beautiful things. It's not like, I should do this, I should do this. You can listen. You can listen on the inside in your heart as far as what to do next. I've had that happen where I've had, you know, theologically think, I really should spend some time in the Word because then, and maybe I should, but I'll pause and I'll listen. And I'll just sense the Spirit of God say, put on that worship song. Just begin to worship. And I'll just put on that worship song. It'll stir me up and in a way that prepares me for the Word. That's a lot like a Sunday morning service. We come into the presence of the Lord through worship. It opens our heart to hear the Word. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will work that way too as you're being led. Word, Spirit, what am I saying? As we're walking in the Spirit, taking spiritual steps, there are Spirit-led steps. We're walking with someone. We're walking with the Holy Spirit. I'm not doing this for Him. I'm doing this with Him. I'm not working for God. I'm a co-laborer together with Him. And so I have a sense of an awareness that it's not a devotion time performance. I did my deal. He's with me now. Not just at the devotion time, but anytime throughout my day, He's there and He's with me, and I can listen. Do you know, when you are led of the Spirit, there is a pause where you will listen and get stuff. And the Spirit will anoint and grace that. Remember what Jesus said? He said, I just do what I see the Father do. I just say what I hear Him say. What does that mean? Jesus was just constantly listening. He had all these Spirit steps, but He was doing it with the Father. You see the relationship with the Father that came through His life and what He said and what He did. And we're to walk like that with the Holy Spirit, where we have that pause and we listen. And there's strength. And whatever He says, shows you to do next, you do that with a sense of excitement. Because I sense there's an anointing on that because God's leading me to do that. It could just be reading the Bible, but it's different. It's from a context of the Spirit. Not an oldness of the letter, you should read your Bible, but in a newness of the Spirit, God will guide you in these steps that you take because you're walking with Him in it. I want to get into it, but in that pause, to say this too. Now, you almost have to kind of take inventory or catch yourself or think about it this week as you're going along. When you're in that point and you're going to decide, what kind of a step am I going to take? Am I going to set my mind on the things of the Spirit, or am I going to set my mind on the things of the flesh? And you're having to make that decision. You know, ultimately, you got to decide. You're deciding what you're going to yield to. You're going to decide what you're listening to. And there's, again, like I said, when you're going to walk in the Spirit, there's a pause. In other words, I'm listening. When you get off in the flesh, there's also a pause. Did you know that? You could be arguing with somebody and you're so mad, you don't know what you're going to say next, so you're listening. Pausing. What am I going to say next? It's like there's demonic wisdom that's just ready to fuel you with that next grenade. But you got to listen. And there's a trust and there's a yielding. You're not just setting your mind. There's also a yielding to that. It works both the same on both sides in that sense too. Your decision to set your mind connected with setting your mind on the flesh of the Spirit, that works the same way. There's a yielding to that. So you can yield to the Spirit, or you can yield to the flesh, the world, the devil, that demonic voice, because they've got an answer too, right? God has an answer. Blessed are those who walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. There's a lot of counsel out there that's not right, that's not God. But there is a Spirit-led counsel that will work in your heart. So this morning, we might just do the first one this morning, but one of them is steps of truth, all right? And this is what I just want to get across. I want to get across to you the way the Holy Spirit has worked in my life. Now, this is a step of truth. And Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All right? So Jesus is saying, you know, he's about to leave him, and he's saying, look, guys, this is better. I know you like having me around, but you got to take your turns to be able to talk to me. There's coming a day where I'm going to leave you, and each of you are going to have the Holy Spirit in you, and you don't have to take your turn. You can stop at any time and know the mind of my heart, my spirit, because I'll say my thoughts and speak it to the Spirit, and you'll have it on the inside of you. And so you will be mobile. You'll be able to know my heart and the mind of my heart at any time. So he's telling him that the Spirit of truth has come, and he'll guide you into all truth. One of the powerful steps of the Spirit is that he guides you into truth. I'm so glad that the Spirit of God in us is a Spirit of truth. He witnesses to truth. Even when we read these words this morning, when you're born again and you have the Spirit of God on the inside of you, there's a witness to the authority of Scripture simply because the one who inspired these words is the one who lives in you. And this is what how the Scripture puts it. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and flow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. All Scripture is breathed out by God. That's Holy Spirit inspired. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Now, I want to stop right there looking at those top two verses, because when I've experienced in my life the Spirit of God leading and guiding me into all truth, this is the place I've got to start. And we referenced this a few weeks ago, too, just about how when it comes to a step in the Spirit that involves the Word of God, it's not just reading at the Word of God, but it's approaching the Word of God with that heart that says, okay, I'm going to receive with meekness this Word, which is able to save my soul. In other words, I'm not reading at the Word to check my box. I'm letting those words come into me. What am I letting Him do? I'm letting Him teach me, reprove me, correct me, and train me. Lord, you can do that. There's a place where the Spirit of God will bring you to where all of a sudden you begin to realize those words are there. Those words are there to strengthen me. They're there to save my soul. You know, we do things our own way, and we can stay on a merry-go-round for years, and we can finally surrender to God and all of a sudden realize, okay, Lord, I'm going to do it your way. What do you say? I'm going to humble myself. And again, I'm just kind of relate a little bit how this has worked in my life too, because you can in some areas of your life be trusting God, but other areas of your life, he's bringing back to you. Now, here's an example of letting that word dwell in you and letting that word teach and reprove and correct you. This is Ephesians 4:31. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. That's a big statement. If I'm going to, with meekness, receive that word and let that come into my soul and say, okay, Ed, let all bitterness, wrath, you can think of certain things or events or people or situations, but all bitterness, all wrath, all anger, it could be friends, it could be family, it could be political stuff, it could be all kinds of things that can stir you up and get you going. But to let all means all. In other words, the Holy Spirit will bring you to a place where all means all, Ed. Now, this is a living thing. This is the Holy Spirit leading me and saying, look at that. It's all bitterness. All that word isn't going to change. 10 years from now, 20 years, 100 years, it's going to read the same way. You're going to be the one that's going to change. And to let that word in me. And I have found that when the Holy Spirit will do that, he'll lead and guide me to a scripture, and he'll say, let that word in you. And then that's where you begin to, it literally can cleanse you. It's like, okay, Lord, bitterness, this bitterness, that bitterness, I forgive them, I forgive that. I just release this, Father God. Your heart, your desire is for me to have no bitterness. And it just states it as a step of faith that you're taking. And so I'm just by faith and saying, okay, as far as I know, Lord, and of course, we don't know perfectly. So what I'll say is, Lord, I'm just forgiving the best I know. And if there's something else that I need, if I've got blind spots or something like that, I'm not perfect. I'm just doing the best I know. So I'm just forgiven. I'm just releasing and clearing out what I know, Father God. But if there's anything else I need to know, you can show me by your Spirit. And I'm not doing a witch hunt on myself. I'm just casting that care and just saying, I forgive. What I know, I think of when Jesus died on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I remember having that thought in my heart. When my spirit leaves my body, I want my spirit to leave my body the way the Lord's Spirit left his body, with no bitterness, no wrath, no anger, to be able to leave this world in a place where you've forgiven even as your Lord is forgiven. But when you do that, when you find that, and you let all, that word all mean all, this is what happens. The Holy Spirit sets you up. Because when you've humbled yourself and you've allowed all to be all, and you've allowed the Word to do that work in your heart, then when he leads you to this scripture, I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor fears of today or worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. This scripture, because when you let all mean all here, then you can let nothing mean nothing here. And the Holy Spirit will set you up sometimes. He'll lead you to a scripture to let that word correct you and reprove you. And then he'll lead you to another scripture. And that scripture will encourage you and build you up and strengthen you and root you and ground you in God's love. Because when you're willing to go here with your heart and your stuff, and you give God's word that place, you come over to a scripture like this, and it's like, praise God, the same authority of the same word. It's the same sort of the Spirit, and it cuts both ways. It corrects and it reproves, but it encourages, it builds up, it roots, it grounds. This is a living relationship with the Word of God. The Word of God is not words on paper. It's the sword of a Spirit. The Spirit-led will lead us and guide us and will show us how this Word will save our soul. But what is it? It's not just a rat-tat-tat, I should read my Bible. There's a Spirit-led steps. God will lead you to certain scriptures. You can pray about it, Lord. Where in the Bible? What should I read? And he'll guide you to scriptures. But what he'll do a lot of times in that step of the word is he'll get you to the place where you're trusting you have a heart for the word, and he'll bring you to another word that will say, yes, okay. Well, you know what? I'm free from the worries about tomorrow because I've submitted myself to the word in one way, and now I'm just still in that submission position, and I'm reading it another way. This is why you can read your Bible sometimes and say, I've read that for years, and I never saw that before. Sometimes your heart has gotten into a place of submission to the word of God where you read it now, and it's like, oh, wow, I see it. Because when you get jaded here and you selectively forgive, these promises become a little cliche. When you're all heart, all in, it's life-giving. And so that's how a spirit-led word time in the word will happen. He's a person, and he loves you, but he'll lead and listen for it. Because that's the way he'll do things. Another way, and I'm just going to close with this scripture here, it's Romans 13, 12 through 14. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. I want a collision here. Al was talking last week about sin and coming into contact and overcoming sin. And by the Spirit, we put to death the deeds of the body. And we're going to get into that a little bit later. But how does that work in real life? How do I walk in the Spirit life, Spirit-led, Holy Spirit, walk in the Spirit, Spirit steps, and get victory over things that are eating my lunch, addictions, different things like that in my life? Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Over here, when you're dealing with that stuff, you know, drunkenness, revelry, lewdness, all that kind of stuff, binding stuff, addictive stuff, the best thing that we can do over here is make promises that we'll never do it again. I promise God I'll never do that again. I'm going to repent from it and I will never do it again. That's like good intentions and stuff like that. Over here, it works different. The promise isn't that if you repent from the flesh, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. The promise is if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's by the Spirit that you put to death the deeds of the body. And so you begin to realize as I'm walking over here, man, I'm going to get victory over this. But here, I'm just showing you another little Holy Ghost sneaky thing he'll do when he's walking with you. When I want to be free from that thing, the Holy Spirit will say, Let's say, for example, it is an area of strife, all right? And the Holy Spirit just says, you know, Ed, you guys are probably a little social media savvy. Have you ever heard of the thing called rage baiting? Some of you maybe. What is that? It's a headline that's there to get your attention to read it and just get you so mad. I can't believe that. And so it's rage baiting. And so they'll do that to get you to watch the headline. That gets addictive. That'll scratch an area of your flesh. And pretty soon you get up in the morning, it's like, I need a scratch. I got to read that headline. What? And it makes you feel so superior, and you're just down, and you're mad and angry and rage. I'm just saving an example. And so when the Holy Spirit will just say, you know what, Ed? Instead of, I'm not going to get all worked up, he'll just say, you know, don't click on that thing. Don't make provision for it. A lot of times you're dealing with an addiction, but before the thing happens, there's a bunch of little things leading up to it. And the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you to stay away from things that will bring you there. And this can get into an area of what we'd call convictions. This can be different for different people. Another example, somebody I heard about dealing with alcoholism. It's like, man, they have a problem with alcohol and they're getting free, they're getting on the right track and just, you know, endeavoring to do the right things. And the Holy Spirit led with a person one time, the way you come home from work, go around this way so you don't have to pass that big liquor shop every time. Well, is there anything wrong with driving that? There's technically nothing wrong, but the Holy Spirit knows what pulls your triggers, what triggers you. And so a lot of times we're trying to fight this battle on these high-level platitudes, and we got to be listening and led by the Holy Spirit because he knows us inside out. And to be honest with what he's showing us to cut out as it relates to those things that would lead to those provisions for the flesh. That's a living relationship with God. That's not just doing the do's and not doing the don'ts. It's listening. It's, God, help me. Show me what those are. As I'm triggered, make me aware of those triggers, you know? So this living relationship, I can make those adjustments. Because what happens is by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body. In other words, those are appetites that are starving to death. They are going to die. And it's an amazing thing, because when you begin to realize that God is serious about that and making you free, it's like, praise God. And when you begin to obey God and you begin to obey those things, man, those it isn't just a step of truth, but there's a step of faith that goes hand in hand with these steps of truth, that you begin to know Him, you begin to see Him, and that begins to make you free. But He'll show you in your life what those are, what those adjustments need to be. It could be just as simple as, you need to cut that out of your morning routine. You need to cut that out, you know, because you know how it affects you. That's a living relationship with the Lord. That's the Spirit of God leading and guiding you into all truth in a way that, praise God, I'm free. I don't need that anymore. And it is amazing. And I'm just going to read the first verse of this next, because I feel like I got to bring closure, a quick closure to this. There is therefore now no condemnation. And this is power, the power side of it. The technical steps of truth, but there's a power that goes with the truth. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. This is really a powerful thing. As I'm trying to even get free from things, and I'm just taking steps in the Spirit, there's no condemnation here. None. Condemnation is not the reward of getting free from the flesh. No condemnation is now no condemnation. When your heart is to walk after the Spirit, there is now no condemnation. None. Because I can tell you something, and you know this from your own personal experience, when it comes to trying to live for God, there's not a lot of difference between a little condemnation and a lot of condemnation. But there's a huge difference between just a little condemnation and no condemnation. Huge difference. That's the place God gets us when we're walking in the Spirit. It's a place of no condemnation. It doesn't mean that people won't be condemning you, but when your heart is right toward God, and I'm sincere and I want to walk after your Spirit, I want to overcome and I want to get victory. When your heart is in that place with God, you walk in that place from no condemnation with God at all. And every step is a place of, that's why you can listen. Like I said, when there's little condemnation or a lot of condemnation, it's hard to pause and hear what the Spirit has to say when you're condemned. But when you know you're forgiven and you're cleansed and you're walking in the light, the best you know is He's in the light, taking one step at a time, you can listen. You can have ears to hear. And it's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that makes me free from the law of sin and death. In other words, it's not just my step in the Spirit. It's because there's power behind that step. It's a step of the Spirit. So in the same way that a natural walk will work hand in hand with your metabolism and your cardiovascular in all ways that you don't understand it, you're just doing the walk. Same thing over here. You're taking those steps in the Spirit, and the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is working in you in ways that, praise God, causes you to see through things that were just so in your face, and now it's like there's a distance, and you can see through things you couldn't see before. You experience the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. And it's a powerful thing. So these are Spirit-led steps, and we'll probably finish this off next week, but I just wanted to kind of get that idea, that heart over this morning, that we are taking these steps. We're taking this walk in the Spirit, but we're not walking alone. We're walking with the Holy Spirit, who loves you and cares about you, who knows you, who gets you, and can help you know that next step to take. And it's a great prayer. Lord, I just really want to walk in the best steps. Show me. And there's nothing to when you're here and you're praying and you're getting stuff in your spirit. You think, I think that's God. And then you do it, and you're blessed. It's like, that was God. I can hear from God. You begin to develop that relationship with Him. And there's something even better than just getting free. You get to know Him here and walk with Him here. And there's nothing like being in fellowship with God here and knowing Him in that way. Amen. Well, Father, we just thank You this morning that as we walk with You, that You walk with us, that we're not doing this for You, but we're doing this with You. And we thank You, Holy Spirit, that You've been sent to abide with us forever. And we are so grateful for Your presence in our lives
And Father, I just pray that right now over each one here this morning. I just pray, Holy Spirit, just begin to lead and guide each one here this morning. Show them those steps to take, those next steps to take, just that one step, Father God, that they just sense that that would just keep coming to their heart again and again, confirming that step, Father God. And I just pray that you would minister your power, your strength, Father, that they would see there's no condemnation in that step, as their heart is to live for you, Father God, that they can do it step by step by step. Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you that you love us enough to tell us what we need to hear, and you speak the truth in love. Holy Spirit, we just open our hearts wide. Lead us and guide us this week into all truth. Show us those steps to take. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. We'll receive that this morning. Again, we'll probably finish up next week on that a little bit. Just the idea of walking with the Holy Spirit in the Spirit walk, because we are not meant to walk this alone. Praise God for that.